You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
In the coming days and weeks, we'll engage in a meaningful conversation and thoughtful debate about how to change laws and culture that allow this violence to continue to grow. We have no greater responsibility than keeping our most vulnerable and most precious resource, our children, safe. And every idea should be on the table as we discuss how best to do just that.
That's the majority leader in the Senate, Harry Reid, speaking in a more somber tone, it seems to me. Congress is a different place than it was a week ago, bristling with recriminations and accusations of inaction on all the looming fiscal cliff issues. But that's just my impression. It may not be the impression of Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, who joins us now. Is there a sea change in the Congress? Todd, welcome back.
Hi, John. There was certainly a change yesterday and today in the wake of these horrible incidents that we've been discussing in Connecticut. I don't want to predict that the change will be lasting. Let's face it, we've had several of these incidents that we've been talking about over the last few days across the country. The history in Congress is that the tone changes for a few days, and then, like many of us in our lives, normalcy after that. There are an enormous number of debates and changes and tough political fights in the next couple of days and in the next couple of months, even after the new year. I can't tell you right now how the events in Newtown will affect any of those. I can tell you, hearing that cut from Senator Harry Reid, by the way, who voted against the renewal of the assault weapons ban a couple of years ago, has a pretty high rating from the NRA, saying there will be a gun debate in Congress. That's new. How will the debate go? We don't know yet.
Do you go along with our two guests at the top of the hour who suggest that the House may stonewall this because the NRA has a 4-1 sort of margin of advocacy, activism among the GOP in the House?
What we know is that the House Republican Conference has positioned itself significantly in a more conservative position than a lot of the voting public. Their connection to lobbyists with the Gun Owners of America and the NRA is strong. And also keep in mind that because of gerrymandering or a reapportionment, whatever you want to call it, which both sides do, that a lot of Republican districts are entrenched and are a lot more conservative than even a lot of moderate or Republican gun owners would consider themselves. So right now, at this point in political history in the House, they are quite a bit more conservative than even a lot of the voting public. Again, we don't know how that translates to actual votes on actual bills.
But certainly the mechanics are there for the House to stonewall if they would want to do so. But it seemed to me, with talk out of Washington yesterday of progress on the fiscal cliff negotiations between John Boehner and the president, that there's suddenly some kind of a no-nonsense attitude there in the House and Senate. Am I wrong?
Well, there's a no-nonsense attitude between John Boehner and President Obama, and there always has been through each of these chapters, the super committee, the Biden-Cantor talks, Bowles-Simpson. John Boehner, the Speaker, and President Obama have always been viewed as the two serious guys trying to get a deal while the partisans swirl around them and scuttle the deals. That's been largely the dynamic. It continues now. But a new tone of seriousness, John, that's what the fiscal cliff is all about. That's what the dreaded sequester is all about. Get serious or face cuts and tax hikes that nobody wants. We have the outlines, and I want to caution a lot of people running around the hill even today saying this is not necessarily a deal, but we're starting to see some outlines. Something important that happened yesterday when Speaker Boehner visited the White House and spoke with President Obama for about 45 minutes was that he said for the first time he was open to a tax increase on millionaires, people making $1 million or more. Now, you know what President Obama's position has been throughout the election, $250,000 or more. They're still far apart on that. A lot of Republicans want to stress they think this deal isn't close, but you're seeing a speaker for the first time putting on paper in front of the president that a tax rate increase on wealthy people is going to be acceptable. Where will that number land? President Obama has countered with $400,000 as the cutoff. So we don't know. Overall, the offer from the president is about $1.2 trillion in new revenue, $1.2 trillion in new cuts, including some cuts to Social Security benefits that liberals are going to hate. These are all his offers right now, and we'll see where this deal heads. Republicans right now saying the revenue is still too high. The spending cuts are still too low. We're not close to a deal. But every day gets us closer to the fiscal cliff and the imperative to get a deal done.
Some important history on Capitol Hill yesterday. We say goodbye to Daniel Inouye, the Hawaiian senator who goes back to the Watergate days, who died in his late 80s. A somber note there, and it was noted on the Senate floor yesterday. And we say hello to the first African-American senator from the South since Reconstruction. Senator Jim Nemitz's replacement is going to be Congressman Tim Scott. Here he is.
When you start out in a single-parent household with a mom who works 16 hours a day, and you're looking at a future that doesn't look as bright, and you're living in North Charleston, South Carolina, you build the strength that comes from having appreciation and understanding that it's not about you, that it's about your faith, it's about your family.
Is this about a rising star in the GOP or GOP branding after the shellacking in the 2012 election?
Well, a
lot of voters with color.
Sorry, John. A lot of people certainly see Tim Scott as a rising star in the GOP, elected in the Tea Party wave in 2010, a popular lawmaker in South Carolina, and now a favorite to win re-election. He has to run in that special in 2014. You mentioned that he's the first African-American senator from the South since Reconstruction, the first African-American from South Carolina since 1901, and only the sixth African-American senator in history. Mm. So it's remarkable in that sense.
A few moments about Daniel Inouye, if you would, Todd.
Yes. Daniel Inouye was an eight-term senator. John was in Congress for Hawaii since Hawaii was a state. He came to Congress when Hawaii was first a state, elected to the Senate in 1963, eight terms. In addition to that, Medal of Honor winner in World War II. John, we're gonna post Daniel Inouye's Medal of Honor citation on the website so people can get a look at this remarkable, remarkable American hero, senator, president pro tem of the Senate, powerful leader of the Appropriations Committee, and leader.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, on the passing of Senator Daniel Inouye. All this week, you've been talking about a reaction to what happened in Connecticut on Friday. You know how to reach us. Our number is 8778-MY-TAKE. You can weigh in on this or any conversation here on The Takeaway. Coming up, relief as NBC News' Richard Engel is out of harm's way in Syria. We'll hear about his ordeal, remarkable escape from captivity. That's later this hour on The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.